It was Good Friday, 2010. My wife and I were just over a day away from being received into the Catholic Church, and we wanted to be as involved in the Triduum as possible that year, so we had come to the Cathedral of St. Paul, where we were undergoing RCIA for the Stations of the Cross that Good Friday at noon. And the Lord met us there. And I mean, He met us all there. I'll tell you what happened coming up next.
Helping you grow deeper on your spiritual journey. Welcome to The Inner Life with Patrick Conley.
Welcome, friends, to The Inner Life. If you're serious about deepening your relationship with Jesus today, you've come to the right place. We're all about offering you the spiritual direction you need to help you grow in faith today. I'm your host, Patrick Conley. Well, having come from Protestant backgrounds, the Stations of the Cross was a relatively new devotion for my wife and me. We weren't quite sure what to expect on that appropriately overcast and gloomy early April Good Friday. Just a few stations in, though, we grew accustomed to the rhythm of the recitations, the prayers, the genuflections, and the singing. We made our way around from station to station with the rather large group of devotees. Even more people stayed in the pews praying along with us. Then we came to the 12th station. Jesus dies on the cross. When we knelt for prayer at that station, there was a change in the routine. Rather than immediately praying the prayer together, we all knelt in silent meditation. And as soon as things in this expansive cathedral grew quiet and we began meditating on the death of our Lord, suddenly there was a huge clap of thunder that rolled through not just the cathedral, but right through our minds and hearts. It was like the Lord Himself was punctuating the solemnity of His death for us right at the most appropriate time. And while no one said anything, no one stirred, I'm sure that not one soul present missed the providential nature of it all. I've always remembered it since that day, nearly 14 years ago. Well, even without the thunder, the stations are a powerful devotion. Although the practice of the devotion has evolved over time, there's evidence that some form of honoring Jesus' way of the cross goes back to the very early centuries of the church. Today on the program, we're talking about the Stations of the Cross and learning how practicing this devotion can help you take up your cross and follow after our crucified Lord. Joining us as our spiritual director today is Father Sam Kachuba. Father Sam is the priest of the Diocese of Bridgeport, Connecticut, where he serves as the pastor of St. Pius X Parish in Fairfield. Father Sam, welcome back to The Inner Life. Thanks for joining us again.
Thanks for having me, Patrick. Happy to be with you.
Yeah, good to be here. So, Father, can you inform us some on kind of the origins of the Stations of the Cross?
Well, if I go back to something that I remember being taught as a kid in Catholic school, it was that in the time after the resurrection and the ascension, Mary would often return to Jerusalem and walk along the path that her son had walked. Yeah. And that sort of from that practice of the apostles walking with Mary sometimes, or just knowing that she did that, came this practice. But another piece of it would be that especially in the period of like the medieval time, when people couldn't necessarily go on pilgrimage to the Holy Land to visit the actual site itself, mm-hmm. the Stations of the Cross became a way that people could make their own miniature pilgrimage right in their own parish church. And so artists started to depict the stations so that there could be just a way to walk around the church, symbolically walking with Jesus, mm-hmm. symbolically going to that place where they couldn't go physically. So going to Jerusalem, where they can't go on their own, the journey's too long, the journey's too expensive, whatever it might be, but we can all go there in our hearts. So the Stations of the Cross became something that was practiced pretty widely. And even now, actually, when you look at the way that the church is supposed to be appointed, yeah. it talks about very specifically the Stations of the Cross being included in every church building.
Huh. Yeah. Well, yeah, and I mean, I've heard that, what you were saying about our Blessed Mother going back and walking the path of her son's, you know, his arrest and his all of the torturous things that he underwent leading up to his crucifixion, and And I think that that's amazing that we're actually partaking in something similar to that. And but going ahead, like you said, that if the church is actually instructed, if church buildings are instructed to have the Stations of the Cross, I got to say that in the many Catholic churches I've visited in the last 14 years, they're always there. I mean, it would be, I guess, abnormal at least if it weren't there.
Yeah, I think to see those images is, it's to hold before us at all times the reality of what Jesus does for us, how he enters into his passion. It's interesting because here we are in the third week of Lent, and as we get closer and closer to Easter, we'll start pretty soon Passiontide. And in most churches, you'll see all the statues and images get covered. Yeah. And there's another one, though, because right there, the instructions about covering the images are very clear to say that the Stations of the Cross are not to be covered. Because we're entering into the Passion, so to keep those images before our eyes is very important. But throughout the year, and so even in Easter season, we still have the Stations of the Cross all around us. At Christmas time, we still have the Stations of the Cross all around us because it gives us the whole context and the whole purpose of the life and mission of our Savior, right? Jesus is incarnate. He comes among us, but he comes for a purpose, and his purpose is to offer himself as expiation for our sins. His purpose is to enter into the depths of our human suffering, and he does that as he carries his cross. And so the whole Stations of the Cross are always before us because this is the cost. This is the thing that we have to remember. That's also why we always have a crucifix in our churches, that we look to Christ crucified, who in that is completely offered, broken, given for us so that he can rise from the dead. But there is no resurrection without the crucifixion. And in just the same way, there's no salvation without the Passion. And so the Passion is that, becomes through the Stations of the Cross, that visible reminder for us all the time of what Jesus has done.
Right, right. That's a great reminder. And that's something I'll tell you, Father, I'm going to carry that with me as I continue to explore new Catholic parishes and that sort of thing. Because I always like to take in, well, what kind of stations they have here. And sometimes it's very simple. Sometimes it's a little more than maybe just a small wooden cross there with maybe a little bit of a label on it of which station it is and that sort of thing. Now, before we get too far into this, I don't want to be too presumptuous. There may be people listening who don't know about the Stations of the Cross. They just thought, well, we've just have these pictures of Jesus undergoing his trial and all the things that he did leading up to his crucifixion on the wall. But the devotion, do you just want to tell us what are the Stations of the Cross?
Sure. Well, the Stations of the Cross are a devotion to walk with Jesus on the way that he carries the cross. So starting with the first station when Jesus is condemned to death, we meditate on our Lord in front of Pilate. And we continue with 14 stations. So from that first station, Jesus condemned to death, to the carrying of the cross, to his fall, to meeting his mother along the way, to Simon helping him, to Veronica wiping his face, to Jesus meeting the women at the women of Jerusalem who weep for him, and then he's stripped of his garments, he's crucified, and finally laid in the tomb. And so we follow these 14 stations. Walking with Jesus, with each station, holding with it a particular meditation. And typically, if you're praying the devotion, there's countless different meditations on the Stations of the Cross. We can maybe describe the devotion as something that's quasi-liturgical.
Okay.
So anybody can pray the Stations of the Cross on their own, but you'll very often hear it done or see it done in the context of a communal celebration where there's a priest who's leading the way. And so there's a certain ritual that you follow going station to station. There's certain meditations that you follow station to station. But you could even walk the Stations of the Cross without any kind of a guide and simply make up your own meditation, your own prayer as you go. So there's a lot of room, a lot of wiggle room for how this can all work. But one very common theme that you'll find is at the end of each station, at the end of each meditation, either reading from or singing the Stabat Mater, which is an ancient Marian hymn in which we meditate on Mary walking with Jesus, on Mary witnessing the Passion, and so kind of entering into her suffering as a mother watching her son suffering and dying. And so there's just a beautiful way of remembering that not only are we walking with Jesus, but that we're also walking with all those who love Jesus, most especially walking with his mother, who loves him more than anyone. And what is it that Mary always wants to do but introduce us to the love of her son? And so what better way for us to enter into the love of her son than to walk with her when she's, in so many ways, the only one who stays with him?
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus betrayed, his friends have abandoned him. And then at the foot of the cross, with the exception of John, it's Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, we have
the
like
other Mary,
people
right.
who are there. Yeah. And John, all his other friends have gone, all those who love him have gone. It's such a small number that stay. So when we walk the stations of the cross, we walk them with the Blessed Mother, who introduces us to the love of her son, who's pointing to us, this is what he did. Look, she looked, she watched, she witnessed. And so the stations of the cross sort of force us to also witness what he's doing.
Yeah, and just to offer a little word of personal testimony on that and reflection on that, it was, I don't know if it was my first Triduum, my first Good Friday, well, not just Good Friday, but my first Lent after being received in the church, but it was one of the first ones. And that was what really stood out to me, was that it was always almost like our Blessed Mother was inviting me to kind of see the passion for the first time, really, through her eyes. And it was a tremendous gift to me. I mean, it was painful because, I mean, what would it be like for a mother whose only son, she's watching him basically get tortured to death, right? I mean, and then executed. I mean, what a painful thing. But it was also so deep and meaningful, so rich. So I think it's a great invitation of the church to walk the stations with our Blessed Mother.
Absolutely. Yeah. And to take that path and then to enter in just as she helps us to pray, just as she introduces us to the love of her son. So to kind of be introduced into her sorrow, so that we can grieve our own sins and our own, the ways that we've contributed to his passion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good. Father Sam Kachuba is our spiritual director for today as we're talking about the stations of the cross. Do you have a devotion to Christ's passion yourself? Maybe praying the stations as a part of your Lenten practice, or maybe you pray it throughout the year as well. It's not restricted to Lent alone, certainly. It's something maybe you pray with your family, and maybe you have tips on how to do that well, how to pray the stations with your family. If the stations have meant something to you in developing your own relationship with the Lord, give us a call and join the conversation. We'd love to hear from you at 888-914-9149. That toll-free studio line is sponsored by the Catholic Order of Foresters. Again, the number is 888-914-9149. Or you can send us an email, innerlife@relevantradio.com. Well, Father Sam, I'm just curious on what your own practice or your own, if there is any particular time when you pray the stations that stand out to you, if you've done it in different places, maybe you've done it in Jerusalem.
Well, never Jerusalem, unfortunately. I would love to get there and be able to pray the stations there. But I think back to being a kid growing up. And,
yeah.
And on Fridays in Lent, we had an evening mass at my parish. And you'd get assigned to serve. And then if you were assigned to serve at that mass, you also carried the cross for the stations of the cross. And so I would go to mass, serve at mass, and then I would take the crucifix and we'd pray the stations of the cross. And
yeah.
I always remember just the atmosphere of that prayer. And seeing all these folks from my neighborhood who were there to pray. And then in the Catholic school that I went to, we did a Living Stations of the Cross. And so every year the whole school would be together and you'd watch the eighth graders. And as every year you got closer to being in eighth grade, you got to be one of the people in the stations. And I so desperately wanted to be Simon of Cyrene.
Oh,
the stations of the cross.
Yeah.
And I look back on that now and I kind of wonder what was happening spiritually, because I don't think I had any real spiritual motive for it. I just kind of wanted to do something, and I thought that would be a cool part. But I think like there's a place in my heart that is very real, that just wants to accompany Jesus, that wants to help him, that wants to carry the cross. And I was greatly disappointed. My cousin got cast as Simon of Cyrene instead of me, and I was relegated to just reading one of the stations out loud instead of actually being one of those. Anyway, that's not neither here nor there. But then I would say another piece for me that has been interesting in praying the stations is that for me, the stations is always a Lenten devotion. It's not a particular devotion that I ever really feel drawn to outside of Lent, other than I went to Lourdes many years ago, and on the hill, sort of near the Basilica, there's a beautiful outdoor Stations of the Cross that you can walk. And praying those stations, and they had a the year that I was there, they had published and maybe it's always there, I don't know, but there was a particular meditation for the Stations of the Cross in Lourdes that was available as you started. You just take the pamphlet and go, and I've misplaced that pamphlet, and it's a great sadness to me because they were some of the most beautiful meditations on the stations that I've ever heard. But what a unique place to pray them. In a place where so many people are coming for healing, in a place where there's such a desire to be close to the Lord and to find his presence, to walk the stations and going uphill and really feeling with him that some of the suffering and knowing that there are people all around who are suffering, who are entering into the passion with the Lord. It was very special, I thought, to pray them in that particular location.
Sure. Yeah. Right. And that's one of those things, too. I think that there's, well, with so many devotions of our faith, that there's a physicality to it, too. You know, if we're praying the rosary, of course, we're making our way through the beads as well. But specifically with the stations, even the, like you were saying, even the physical setting of where you are, and not just the physical setting, but the spiritual setting where you are, which would make Lourdes or, you know, Jerusalem or, excuse me, many of these other places of pilgrimage would help them to even take on an added meaning that we can then carry with us back to our own parish, to our own hometown, and incorporate that into our memories of them. So I appreciate that. And by the way, Father, just so you know, if you ever want to come and be Simon of Cyrene, you always have a standing invitation to come to our parish, and we'll cast you as Simon.
Thank you for that generosity, Patrick.
Absolutely. And but I mean, there is even an element to that I think is worthy of note, which is but that's exactly it, is that we're invited to walk with Jesus in this. And I think in utilizing our imaginations and you know, what would have been like if I was Simon, what would it have been like? I think that's part of the devotion, isn't it?
I think it is, very much. What would it be like to carry the cross with Jesus, to help
right.
him? What would it be like to be in the crowd watching? What would it be like to be even one of the Roman soldiers who's pushing him along? What would it be like to be Veronica pushing through the crowd and wiping his face? There's so many levels and so many layers for that meditation. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good. Again, Father Sam Kachuba is with us, talking us through the Stations of the Cross. If this is a particular devotion that's meant a lot to you, maybe it's had a transformational effect in your life or in the life of a loved one, and you'd like to share that, we'd love to hear from you. 888-914-9149. Maybe you have a favorite, as Father Sam was just saying, maybe you have some favorite meditations. Yeah, give us a call. Let us know what those are. 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Or send us an email, innerlife@relevantradio.com. We're going to take our first break here on The Inner Life, but we got more of the conversation coming up right after this. Stay with us. Our sponsor, the University of Dallas, the Catholic University for Independent Thinkers, invites high school juniors, seniors, and recent graduates to study the great books this summer at UD's two-week-long Arete program while earning 3 hours of college credit. Info at relevantradio.com/UDallas. Welcome back to The Inner Life here on Relevant Radio. My name is Patrick Connolly. Thanks for joining us as we're talking through the Stations of the Cross, this beautiful devotion, most specifically that we hear, I think, more often during Lent, but good for any time of the year, and meditating upon the Lord's death. Our spiritual director today is Father Sam Kachuba. If you have particular, if the stations have meant something particular to you, why do you pray the stations? What do the stations mean to you? Is it part of your Lenten practice? Give us a call. Join the conversation at 888-914-9149. Let's go now to Joe, who's calling in from Santa Fe, New Mexico. Good morning, Joe. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning. I just have a question about Veronica's veil. I'm wondering if that story is just tradition, or because there is no scripture reading that mentions Veronica and her veil being offered to Jesus to wipe his face. So I'm wondering how that is incorporated into the Stations of the Cross.
Yeah, Joe, thanks. That's a great question. You're right. Veronica's veil and the story of Veronica does not come to us through the scripture. It comes from tradition, sort of a pious meditation on somebody in the crowd coming forward, stepping forward to do something for the Lord. So we can see here sort of a reflection of somebody. It could be almost anyone. We're kind of entering in imaginatively into the scene, into the prayer. Somebody who has followed Jesus, or maybe even somebody who's never seen Jesus before, but who is moved with a desire, with compassion. Somebody who's moved to offer something of themselves, even at personal risk. Large crowd. The fact that it's a woman in this large crowd where there's soldiers and there's violence happening, but she pushes her way through that crowd to do something for somebody who is suffering even more greatly, for somebody whose suffering is so significant. And so what we can see here is just her great compassion and her great love. And so it's to meditate on that kind of compassion. Do I have enough compassion to go to somebody who is suffering, even when the rest of the world might be set against me? And so when we stop at that particular station to see Veronica wiping the face of Jesus, we're meant to understand that somehow we're being invited to be compassionate to those who suffer, to see Jesus, as Mother Teresa says, in the distressing disguise of the poor and those who are suffering. But there's another aspect to the Veronica's veil, which is that we do have the relic. We do have this cloth with the imprint of the face of Jesus as he suffers. And so whether it was somebody named Veronica who fought through the crowd, we have this cloth with the imprint of the face of Jesus that has been preserved down through the centuries. And so there's this aspect of reality and of truth. There's a way in which we can see, yes, something happened. There's a moment there that happened. Even if it wasn't recorded in the scriptures, something really did happen there. And we're being invited to meditate even on those things that aren't explicitly spoken of, but that still have a deep spiritual resonance and meaning for us today.
Yeah, right. Joe, I appreciate the call. Good question. And in fact, that's what I was going to lead back with when we came, that some of the things that we see in the stations may not be explicitly biblical, but good explanation, Father, and that's helpful. It helps us to enter in, too. I mean, right? I mean, in a sense, it's giving us a portrayal of it that, to my mind anyway, it makes it maybe even more tangible in a sense when we see these other things that are going on in and around, helps us imagine Jesus falling, you know, three times under the weight of the cross. That's powerful stuff.
Yeah, well, and I'm glad you brought up the three falls of Jesus, because I think those particular stations always jump out at me.
Yeah.
Depending on the meditation that you might be reading from as you do the Stations of the Cross, the falls of Jesus are kind of given different significance. Each one is a little bit different. One is for the sin of all mankind. One is for my sin. One is for the burden of whatever it might be. And so you can kind of see that there might be different reasons to look at that. And some of the private revelations that different saints have received, it's been described that Jesus didn't only fall three times, but actually several more times than that. The Stations of the Cross give us these three moments. But even in, again, the Stations of the Cross giving us three times that Jesus falls, we don't actually see that as we read the Passion narratives in the Gospel. But the idea that he fell, well, it makes a lot of sense historically. He had to carry his cross from the place where he was judged at Gabbatha, the stone pavement, by at the house of Pontius Pilate at the Praetorium, and then he had to walk carrying the cross to the place of crucifixion. Now, how far a distance that was, I don't know exactly, but if you go to Jerusalem, you'd see exactly how far it is. But carrying that cross after having been scourged with that big crowd all around him on uneven pavement, it makes a lot of sense that he would have fallen.
Yeah.
But to understand that there's a spiritual reason, a spiritual meaning behind those falls, but then also to see in those falls that he gets up, He continues on his way. He doesn't give up. What we're seeing then is a reflection of the love that God has for us, that his love for us is reflected each time he gets up and continues to carry the cross. And that might remind us of what he tells us in the gospel. If you wish to be my disciple, you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. And so we see him taking up his cross, denying himself. It would probably have been easier to stay on the ground, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But he keeps going. Then we might even see in those three times that we pause to meditate on Jesus falling as he carries the cross, we might go fast forward a little bit in John's gospel to that moment on the shore when the apostles encounter the risen Christ, and Jesus takes Peter aside with him and three times asks him, Peter, do you love me? And the way that John's gospel is written, it says that Peter was distressed that the third time Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? And that's because if we go to the Greek text, the first two times that Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? He uses the word agape. Do you love me with that unconditional love? The love that God has for you, the love that I have for you. Do you love me in that way? And Peter responds using a different word, using the word philia, which is a different type of love. It's the love of profound friendship and brotherhood. And then that third time that Jesus asks him, he says, Peter, do you love me? Using the word philia. And so Peter is distressed that Jesus has, in a way, lowered the bar, that he hasn't continued calling him to that higher love. And so Peter's distressed by that. But there's something even beautiful there because we see Jesus again coming to our level, meeting us in that place. Three times he falls. Three times he asks Peter, do you love me? And so he's asking us the same thing. Do you love me? And will you get up? Will you carry the cross? You know, when we're tempted to give up because the weight of sin is too much, when we're tempted to not worry anymore, it's just, I can't handle this. I'm just going to keep on sinning. Jesus got up and continued to carry the cross for us, for those places where we struggle the most. In those times when it's hard for us to love God, Jesus loved us, and he continued to love us.
Yeah.
So there's a lot there. And sometimes stepping outside of what is clear in Scripture for the sake of meditating more deeply on what is in Scripture is really helpful.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's who, for the sake of the joy set before him, endured the scorn of the cross, despising the shame, right? I mean, that's something that we see in Jesus getting up. That's, oh man, that's gonna taint my, well, not taint, but it's gonna color my my next time I pray the stations this Lent, Father. So I thank you for that. It's beautiful.
You're welcome, yeah,
very good. Joe, again, thanks so much for the question. Appreciate that. Let's go now to Charles calling in from San Clemente, California. Charles, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning, and I'm just listening, and my heart is pumping because just to remember, because I was born and raised in the Middle East, and I've been through the Stations of the Cross many times, and I just remember that, and I'm about ready to cry just thinking about it. And I would recommend that anybody who can, at least once in a lifetime, to go to Jerusalem, especially Holy Week. It is amazing. It is, you have an experience that you can never duplicate anywhere, not in any of the apparitions or anything else, because you can just feel Jesus walking there. You really can. And I did many times. Anyway, that's all I want to say.
Wow.
Charles, that's beautiful. Thank you. And to have that experience of the tangible presence of Jesus is so powerful. So all you've done there, Charles, is confirmed for me that I have to get there. I've got to go. I've got to make that pilgrimage. So I appreciate the words of encouragement. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, especially he said go during Holy Week. So you think you can swing a Holy Week off, Father?
That's a little hard. I mean, yeah. The parish gets really upset if I don't show up for Holy Week.
maybe you took your parish with you, then that might be
now
something.
That they might let me do.
Okay. All right. Very good. Charles, God bless you. Thank you so much for calling in, and what an experience to be born in the Middle East and to have been so many times to the Stations of the Cross there in Jerusalem. So appreciate the call, Charles. Thank you so much, and God bless you. I tell you what, let's go to Karen now, calling in from Lake Oswego, Oregon. Karen, welcome to The Inner Life. Thanks for calling in.
Well, good morning, and thank you for taking my call. What I wanted to share is every Lent, I read a book, and it's called A Lenten Journey with Mother Mary. And it's by Father Edward Looney. For anybody that's interested, I highly recommend it. You begin with Ash Wednesday, of course, and every day is you read and reflect on prayer, on how we need to repent, or do you need to repent? How do you approach prayer? Do you avoid prayer? For the poor souls of purgatory, each day is a different message. And then, of course, Holy Week, you go with Mother Mary on that journey during Holy Week. And it is just my heart. I just can't tell you what it does for Lent. It just reminds you of everything that we should do during Lent to make it the best Lent that we can.
Beautiful. I love it. I'm not familiar with this particular book, but I'm actually looking at it on Amazon right now.
Yeah. you and me both, Father.
recommending this. This looks absolutely wonderful.
Yeah.
And you know, I love the idea of first just a broad Lenten reading, something where there's daily devotion and something you can go back to and every year find something new. Karen, thank you so much. It's a great recommendation.
Yeah, and of course we need to mention that Father Looney is actually one of our celebrants here for our noonday mass here that he says for us right here on Relevant Radio, too. So a little free publicity for you there, Father Looney. I hope you're appreciating it. But thank you, Karen. Thank you for the recommendation. I'm going to check that out as well. It sounds absolutely beautiful and a great way to deepen the experience of Lent. We're talking about Stations of the Cross today with our spiritual director, Father Sam Kachuva. And if the stations have meant something specifically to you, if it's been a special devotional practice, or if you have other recommendations to give about praying the stations or things to read and help us through our Lenten journey, give us a call at 888-914-9149. Well, I'm thinking about specifically one of the ways, of course, the stations is a great way of acquainting ourselves, obviously, with the passion of Jesus, Father. But reading the passion narratives is also, of course, a great way to meditate on the life of Christ during Lent. Any suggestions as to, do you have a particularly favorite passion narrative?
You know, I don't have a favorite passion narrative, but something that I love to kind of step into is how on Palm Sunday, we read the Passion narrative from either Matthew, Mark, or Luke, and how on Good Friday, every year, no matter what, we read the Passion narrative from John.
Right.
And I think it's fascinating because this is maybe the one place in the Gospels where all four Gospels really line up on the description and what's happening and what they're saying. Mm-hmm. Each of the Gospel writers sort of gives their own unique characteristics to it. But unlike in the rest of the Gospels, where Matthew, Mark, and Luke tend to be very, very similar on the narrative of the life of Jesus, and John's Gospel tends to get very, we might say, really philosophical. It's a deep theological reflection about the life of Jesus. And so the narrative is a little bit different. It's differently paced and everything. When it comes to the Passion, all four Gospels are very, very clear. Jesus was betrayed. He was brought before Pontius Pilate. He was condemned, and he was sentenced to die, and he carried the cross and was crucified. All four Gospels are really clear about this. So even in those places where there's differences, difference in emphasis, maybe difference in detail, all are abundantly clear about the historical reality of this. And I think that's always an important thing for us to consider. While we're meditating on the Stations of the Cross, we're entering spiritually into what this means. We're trying to be with Jesus on that level of the heart, the soul, to walk with Jesus as he carries his cross. But to keep in mind that this is a historical reality. I mean, the Romans were great at keeping records, and they kept records of all their legal proceedings. We have the documentation of what happened. We have the documentation of the things that Pilate did. We know that this really happened. This is a real historical occurrence. And to understand then that God steps into our time, he steps into our history. And so whenever we're meditating on the Stations of the Cross, it's also a reminder that we're allowing God to once again step into our time. And the same thing is true every time we read the Gospels. So when we read the Passion narratives of the Gospel, we're going to find that, again, God is stepping into our time. Jesus is there with us, once again, inviting us to go to Calvary. And really, that's the truth of what happens through the Eucharist, through the sacrament that is offered at the Mass. We are once again made present. Calvary is re-presented to us. It's like a cosmic spiritual time travel, right?
Yeah.
You get to go and stand at the foot of the cross. And the apostles fled. They ran away. But Mary and John the Beloved, they stood and were firm there. So at every Mass, we're being invited to stand with Mary and John the Beloved and to witness the crucifixion, to be there, to give thanks, to praise him for his gift. Every time we pray the Stations of the Cross, we're invited to walk with him, to accompany him, to comfort him, to atone for our own sins, to offer acts of reparation for the ways that he was treated so poorly and the ways that he is still treated with such blasphemy. So there's all these beautiful ways that we're just invited more and more and more into this gift.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I love the way that how you outline, Father, that the Stations, they orient us right back towards the Mass when we actually do get the opportunity of standing at the cross, the foot of the cross of our Lord, and to be there with him and to unite our sufferings with his. It's a great way of all our devotions. It all leads back to the Mass, right? The source and summit of our faith, back to the Eucharist and back to the great gift that it is. Body, blood, soul, and divinity. And by the way, this might be a good time to throw in there, too. We do have this National Eucharistic Congress thing that we've been talking about a little bit here on Relevant Radio coming up this summer in July. Hope you can join us in Indianapolis. It's going to be a once-in-a-lifetime experience, and you won't want to miss it. If you're interested in finding out more, check it out at relevantradio.com/travel and how to get there. We've also got relevantradio.com/encounter where you can hear some great stories from Father Rocky on stories of the Eucharist to help you grow in devotion as well. We're talking today about the Stations of the Cross with our spiritual director, Father Sam Kachuba, and we have we're just meditating on this great devotion that's given to us. So if you have particular meaning in your spiritual life, maybe specifically as during this Lenten season, give us a call. Join the conversation at 888-914-9149. Again, 888-914-9149. Our email address is innerlife@relevantradio.com. We'll be back after this short break with more of The Inner Life right after this. Our sponsor, the University of Dallas, the Catholic University for Independent Thinkers, invites high school juniors, seniors, and recent graduates to study the great books this summer at UD's 2-week-long Arete program while earning 3 hours of college credit. Info at relevantradio.com/UDallas. Welcome back to The Inner Life. Beautiful stuff. I think we could probably just listen to this for a while. It'd be very good. We're talking about the Stations of the Cross. And my thanks to Nick Sentovich, who's our producer, and both Patrick Halog and Miranda Sinisteros taking your phone calls today. Thank you for your service to the show as well. Our spiritual director today is Father Sam Kachuba, as we're talking again about the Stations of the Cross. Father, let's go. Let's take another phone call. Let's go to Susanna now, calling in from New Mexico. Good morning, Susanna. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning. I do the Stations of the Cross year-round on Fridays when I do adoration. But I'd like to support Father in his wanting to be Simon of Cyrene. And when I do the meditations from two books that I use, it shows or it reads that Simon was reluctant and had to be forced to do it. But I disagree. I would like to think of it like the Passion of Christ. When he was coming in from Cyrene, he didn't know what was going on. He had a son with him. And I look at Simon of Cyrene, like the movie The Passion of Christ reflects that. What do you think?
Well, Susanna, first, I hope that my eighth grade teacher is listening and hears you say that I should have been Simon of Cyrene. More importantly, I think the way that he's depicted in the Passion, which there's something fascinating. He's trying trying to protect his children. You see Simon as a good father, and that's actually an important note because in the gospel, his children are named. So he's known as a historical figure with real children who were then part of that Christian community. That's part of the reason that we know their names and his name and where he was coming from. And so you kind of see him in this big crowd trying to protect his children from seeing something that they're probably not ready to see. He doesn't want them to have to see an execution. So we can see in Simon actually an example of a very good father. But then we also see him as at first sort of unwilling. But again, why is he unwilling? He doesn't want to be associated with the criminal. He doesn't want to be thought that he's the criminal, especially since his children are there. He doesn't want them to think that he's done something wrong. But there's that moment when he looks into the eyes of Jesus in the Passion, and they capture this really beautifully. And as he gazes into the eyes of Jesus and then helps him to carry the cross, you then see his arm and the arm of Jesus crossed. And so there's that, we're together in this. Something really powerful there. And I think sometimes that's how we are in our own spiritual lives. Yes, Jesus, I want to help. I want to go with you, but not at too much of a cost. And then we look at Jesus and we realize we're worried about the wrong thing. And sometimes it's just that gaze at Jesus. So I like that you're talking about praying the stations while you go to adoration. Because who is it that we're looking upon in adoration but the Eucharistic face of Jesus? And how does he look at us but with that same love that he looked at Simon of Cyrene? How does he look at us during adoration but with that invitation, come with me? If you go to St. Ignatius of Loyola, he has one of his meditations in the spiritual exercises is about the great king coming in and inviting you to go with him. Sort of the zeal that you would have if the king invited you to follow him, to go with him. But the king warns you as you're getting ready to follow that you're going to have to share in everything that he shares in his privations, his difficulties, his challenges, but come and share them with me. And what joy that can inspire in us. So I think Simon becomes for us that great example. Yes, I might hesitate. I might be uncertain. I might not always know exactly what to do. But when I look in the face of Jesus, there's nothing better than to go with him. There's nothing more inspiring. There's nothing more beautiful than to follow him.
Beautiful meditation, Father. Thank you so much. I love that. And Susanna, good question, and I appreciate the call. Thank you for calling into The Inner Life. Talking about the Stations of the Cross here today on The Inner Life. Let's go to Jose now, calling in from Artesia, New Mexico. Good morning, Jose. Welcome.
Good morning, Father. I was hoping that you would have explained the meaning of the name Veronica coming from True Image. You know, Vero Icon, when you were talking about Veronica. So anyway, you might touch on that a little bit.
Sure. Thanks, Jose. That's a great point. And that name, meaning true icon, it's a testimony then to the cloth that gives us this relic of the face of Jesus, right? And the holy face. I have a friend, and he had a great devotion before he passed away, to the holy face of Jesus. And to gaze upon that face, but that true icon, exactly like you're saying. There's another piece here that I think is fascinating, because with that notion of true icon, what do we have? But if we look at Jesus as the new Adam, Jesus who is the new Adam, and how is Adam created? The first Adam is created in the image and likeness of God. And so Jesus becomes the true icon. Right? He is himself the true icon of God. He is the true image and likeness of God perfected. Right? Adam, who fell in sin, Jesus is recapitulating all of human history. So he, in the image and likeness of God in his body, now perfects. And so Jesus then also, taking our humanity, makes our own humanity a true icon of who God is, something that allows us to see, something that allows us to recognize the presence of God. And so Veronica, by that great witness, by fighting through the crowd, by coming to Christ, the new Adam, leaves us with a true icon in the holy face. Cardinal Schönborn, years back, had a book also about this. And forgive me, Jose, I'm forgetting the name of the book. But in it, he writes about how... If if you look at the history of iconography, Christian iconography and paintings and everything, so many of them come from this veil, the veil of Veronica. So many of the faces of Jesus, if you hold them up, they kind of line up in this, in sort of the structure and the way that he's depicted, especially the most ancient icons that we have of Jesus. We start to realize that these icons made by human hands are very much a faithful reproduction of the true icon that Veronica made as she pressed her veil against the face of Jesus. So that's a great question, and you're absolutely right, Jose. Veronica's name signifies so much for us as we meditate on the Passion.
I love the depth of that explanation, and I think I dug up the right book here from Cardinal Schönborn. I think it's God's Human Face, the Christ Icon. Yeah,
that's exactly it. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. Wow, Jose, thank you for the call. So many things, Father. So many things to delve into. I mean, it's just one of those things that on the surface it may just seem like, well, we're invited to pray some prayers and to sing some and to kneel some and that sort of thing, and maybe follow around the perimeter of our church or our parish church. But there's such a depth there to the Stations of the Cross. And I guess one of the questions maybe here as we're getting closer to the end of the show here, but I wanted to ask, of course, if we can't make it to our parish church, maybe there's, for disabilities or sickness or illness or something like that, we can't join in the corporate prayer, the stations. You already said that we can pray them on our own. I mean, this is something that, just like the rosary, if you don't happen to have a rosary on hand, doesn't mean we can't pray it, right? If we still have the meditations, the prayers, we can go ahead and pray it at home, yeah?
Absolutely, yes. And that's the beauty of it. The Stations of the Cross can be prayed in private. They can be prayed in community. They can be prayed at home. They can be prayed in church. There's always a special significance to actually walking the stations or looking at the images of the stations, if nothing else, just gazing upon them. But even when that isn't possible, there's so much fruit that comes from meditating on these mysteries, on these moments in the life of Jesus. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good. And I have a little Lenten present for you as well, Father, just so you know. We had two very astute listeners who emailed in copies of the Lord Stations of the Cross pamphlet. So I will forward those on to you. Mary and Rosemary, thank you both.
Thank you. That's amazing.
So just in time for Passion Tide, Father. Well, just in time for Laetare Sunday we've got coming up this Sunday, so you can let a little joy into your Lenten celebrations that way, I suppose.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Thank you.
That's very good. That's very good. Talking with our spiritual director, Father Sam Kachuba, about the Stations of the Cross. And I think just in closing, in our last minute here before we ask for your blessing, Father, I think if someone is brand new to the Stations of the Cross, any suggestions about a right attitude with which to enter in?
I think the right attitude is that which says, Jesus, I want to be here with you. Help me to experience this. Help me to accompany you. I don't think there's really anything else that needs to be said. Jesus does so much of the work for us. That's the same thing that happens at Mass, same thing that happens in adoration. This is what Jesus does for us, and he wants us to see it. And so to step into that meditation, into that prayer, with that understanding that he's invited us to see the depth of his love.
Mm, yeah, amen to that. It's been a brilliant conversation, Father. Thank you so much for all of your insights into the Stations of the Cross. And as we're entering into the last minute of the show here, Father, as you know, we always like to close the show with a blessing. May we ask of that of you now, please?
Yes, absolutely. And thank you again for having me today, Patrick. It's
sure,
great to be with all of you and all of your listeners.
Yeah.
Heavenly Father, we ask you to pour out your graces and blessings upon all those who listen today and upon their families, all those who are most in need, that in these days of Lent we may enter more deeply into the Passion of your Son, growing in our knowledge and our understanding of the depth of his love for us. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. If you missed any portion of the program here talking about the beautiful devotion of the Stations of the Cross with Father Sam Kachuba, go back and check it out, listen and share it with others at relevantradio.com/innerlife. Coming up next is the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Stay tuned for that. Our celebrant today is Father Richard Getchell. And then tomorrow we're going to be talking about temptation with Father John Eckert. Until then, grace and peace.